Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
I'm Stephanie. If you haven't got to meet me, I'm one of the newer people. I do work with WPDC, and so I've loved my time that I've been here so far, and I was very honored when Bert asked me if I'd be interested in sharing at chapel. He told me that I could do my testimony or anything that I wanted to, and I thought this would be a good opportunity for me to get to know you all a little bit more. You get to introduce myself a little bit more, and I'd share a bit about me. I don't have the traditional testimony. I was never a wild child. I didn't go out and party or anything like that. The wildest things I did was I lied to my mother and told her I was going to a rock concert when in actuality I was going to a youth rally. Yes. I snuck in a copy of the New King James Version Bible in the house because we weren't supposed to have one of those. So I was that kind of rebellious child. So I don't have a testimony to give of my wild days, but I do want to share what I call my faith journey because that is an important part of what made me what I am today. And so I want to start out with just a verse, 1 Peter 4:12-13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, I say that because I want to talk about how we're all hit with hard times and trials at some point in our life. And if you are young enough that you haven't had any yet, it's coming. Trust me. And how do I know? I'm glad you asked. You see, I learned about 14 years ago that the plan you have in your head for your life may not exactly be what God has planned for your life. I'm someone that adores children. I am someone who has always known that one day I wanted to be a mommy, and I knew that this was God's plan for me, that I was going to be a mom one day. Now, when my husband and I got married, we had decided that we wanted to take some time just for us. So we were going to wait a little while before we had kids. We said, we'll do 5 years, and then we'll work on having kids. But my friends knew how I was, and one of them even had a bet with me saying that I wouldn't be married for 5 years before I had a kid. And I said, done, deal, I gotcha. And so 5 years came and went, and no child. I won that bet. 10 years passed, and no child. That was not what I was betting on. Now, we didn't understand why this was happening. Both of us felt very strongly that God wanted us to be parents. Why wasn't he fulfilling that desire if he'd put it so strongly in our hearts? Now, we went and we saw fertility specialists, doctors, all that, and we were actually seeing a fertility specialist when we both decided we were going to do the Daniel fast. And now, the fast lasts for an entire month, and our prayer was, God, if this is not what you want us to do, if this is not the path you want us on, make it crystal clear. Well, near the end of the month, that doctor called us into his office and said we'd basically done everything that we could do except for in vitro, which was extremely expensive and we were bad candidates for. So basically he told us we were going to throw our money away. So there we were. There was our answer. It was not what we wanted to hear, but it was crystal clear, which is what we asked God to do. And Justin, my husband, made the comment that if we were going to spend that kind of money, he would rather invest in an adoption instead of in vitro. There we go. That was our plan. We were going to adopt the child, easy peasy. We figured this is exactly how we were going to become parents. Not exactly how we pictured, but still a plan. And so the sweet young couple adopts a baby and live happily ever after, right? Not that easy. We had several obstacles we had to overcome before we could do this. We had to fill out mountains of paperwork. We also had every moment and every aspect of our lives examined under a microscope. We were interviewed multiple times. It felt like interrogations. They'd pull us into different rooms and they'd talk about us different places. But we finally got through all of that, and we were given a high recommendation for a placement with a baby. So, end of story, right? Nope. We had to wait for over a year before a mother chose us to be the parents. Ashley chose our family profile, which is just this little family booklet with pictures and a little bit about our family, out of 100 profiles. And typically a birth mom will choose about 3 or 4 and interview the different couples before she decided who she wants. So they asked her, they're like, okay, well, that's your first choice. Who's your other choice? And she was like, no, that's them. I want them. Meet them. Let's meet them. And so we did. Now, Ashley was very timid when we first met her. She was from a family of addicts. She had a long string of bad relationships, so she was not very trusting when she met us. But through a series of meetings and texts and just lots of prayer and just loving on her and just pouring God into her as much as we could, we earned her trust. And so she had chose us, and she stuck with her decision. So that's the end of the hard stuff, right? Nope. Adoption is not cheap. And I know some of you all have went through the adoption process, I've heard. So this is one of those things. The adoption was going to cost us around $24,000. Let me make this clear to you. I do not have $24,000 laying around in a bank account that I can go, oh, I'll just write you a check. It'll bounce. I could write you one, but it will bounce. Still not a person that has $24,000. So we spent the year that we were waiting to be chosen fundraising. We raised so much money, we thought. Well, when we got to the point where Ashley had stuck to her decision, we had 6 weeks before the baby was born. Now, with this adoption agency, the day the baby goes home with you, you're supposed to pay off your adoption. So that means technically, we could bring this baby home in 6 weeks, which means we need $6,000 in 6 weeks. I'm not even a person that has $6,000 that they can dole out. But my husband Justin said, $6,000 in 6 weeks, that's just $1,000 a week. That's nothing to God. And that's exactly what it was. Nothing to God. He fulfilled every week. We were given $1,000 on the money each week, whether it be through just random people coming to us. We had someone stop us. We were walking through an alley. Someone was driving by, stopped by, rolled down their window, said, God told me to give you this, and gave us $100. I had little old women who I thought didn't have two pennies to rub together who gave us $600, said, God's been telling me to save this money, and I didn't know why until last night, and he told me to give this to you. So God fulfilled that promise. He gave us $6,000 in 6 weeks. We actually got $20 over what we needed. When the lady found out, she said, go buy diapers. So we were good. And so that's the end of that. God provided. We're good, right? Kind of. You see, it would be, but Ada Marie was born a beautiful, chunky, dark-skinned, brown-eyed, beautiful baby girl that was addicted to drugs. So, Ashley had to go, was going through the Sobitex treatment because she was an active addiction when she realized she was pregnant and she knew that she couldn't do it on her own. So she went through the program so the baby wouldn't go through withdrawals in the womb, which is much more dangerous than going through withdrawals once they're born. So about 3 days after she was born, they made the decision to transfer her to the East Tennessee Children's Hospital in Knoxville. She progressed very, very quickly there. We were so proud of her. She was able to go through that weaning process faster than most of the babies there. There was babies that had been in there months, and the nurses were shocked at how quickly this child was going through the withdrawals and how well she was doing, but we weren't, because we had done a lot of praying, and we had an army of people praying with us for this little girl. So we were, it was 1 month and 3 days that Ada Marie was in the hospital going through withdrawals. While there's others who have been there 3, 4, 5 months going through the process, she was released 1 month and 3 days. And so we got to take our beautiful blessing home finally. Amen, the end, right? No. The journey continues because you see, at that point, We should have been done with the adoption 6 months after this point. When you take a child into your home, after you've had them for 6 months, and one day you're able to legally adopt them. But the birth father was mad at birth mom. And so he did just enough to slow down the legal process. He didn't want the baby, but he wanted to stick it to birth mom, is basically his idea. So that meant that the adoption agency wouldn't have Ashley sign over her rights either, because they were afraid that if she signed over hers, that he could swoop in and get this baby. Now, he was actually in jail at the time, because he had a rap sheet as long as my arm, and he was into drugs, selling drugs. He actually sold Ashley drugs. So they did not want the baby to go into that situation. But that meant her rights hadn't been terminated. So this means that this lady could come to our home, knock on our door at any time, and say, I want my baby back. And legally, we couldn't do anything about it. So we were about a year into the process when the adoption agency called us in, and they said, we wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't tell you that you need to prepare your heart. You might have to give this child back. And I looked at them, and I said, how do I do that? How do I prepare my heart to let go of this child that I have loved as my own? And of course, they had no answer. There is no answer for that. That's like preparing yourself for the death of a child. There's no way that you can prepare your heart for that kind of loss. So my husband and I did the only thing that we knew how to do, and that was pray. A lot. And we had an army, like I said, of people praying with us and for us. And at that point, we felt like we had a guillotine hanging by a thread just over our necks that could drop at any moment. But after 2.5 years, we jumped through so many legal hoops. We had to take the adoption private, which is something we didn't want to do. We had to pay more money, which we didn't have, but by golly, we found it. And we even had to release all kinds of private information about us to birth mom that we hadn't planned on making open. But after that 2.5 years, on August 8th, 2016, which is my husband's birthday, by the way, we went to court. And the judge declared and made official what God had already made in our hearts. We were finally a forever family. Now, it's amazing what God can do in our lives. Even in the midst of our fear and lack of faith, which I will admit I was guilty of throughout the process. There was a time I remember very vividly. It was the day that the adoption agency said, we can't handle this. This is getting too much for us. You all have to do this as a private adoption. That I looked at a friend and said, yes, I am hurt and disappointed in the adoption agency, but I am more hurt by God right now. Why isn't he stepping in? Why hasn't he done something? All I could see was my current hurt. I couldn't think of the bigger picture, and I didn't see the plan that God had for my family and for my life. But God had not left me. He was just working behind the scenes where I couldn't see him. And he was sealing up all those little loose ends that I didn't know about. Because you see, this adoption is closed so tightly now that there is no way that there's any loopholes that anyone can come back and reverse this. We're not going to be the Hallmark story that you hear of the adopted family having to give back the child. And that may not have been the case if we would have got our quick and easy drive-through adoption case. So we just don't know, but God knew. God saw the entire plan, and he knew what was going to happen. You know, I knew that God would take care of us through the adoption. I kept that much faith the entire time. I just had a lot of hurt and confusion along the way. You know, just because you know that God has a plan for you, it doesn't make it any easier and it doesn't make it any less painful sometimes. I want to share a storytelling piece that I wrote from the point of view of another mother who went through a situation that she couldn't see the big picture because of the pain that she was in at that moment. You see, Mother Mary knew that her son was the Son of God, and she knew that he was the King of Kings. And she may have even had an idea of the sacrifice that he was going to make for us. But none of that made it any easier to watch. Do you know what a parent loves to see? Their children's arms stretched wide to them. It's a beautiful sight. Well, I remember when my first son was born, he was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. He was a gift straight from God, literally. Oh, and one of the things that always captured my heart was when he would reach his little arms out to me, his mother. Oh, he would reach for me when he was hungry because he knew I would feed him. He would reach for me when he was scared because he knew that I would comfort him. He would reach for me because he knew I loved him. No, I adored him. Oh, this tiny baby was my whole world. Now, he had given me a new role in life, one that I wasn't quite expecting when I got it, because I hadn't done anything to earn that role yet. So to say that this little boy had shook up my entire world is an understatement. Oh, but I wouldn't trade anything in the world for that little boy, the one that I love and the one that loves me. Now, as he grew, his needs changed. He experienced different kinds of hungers and hurts, but he knew he could still come to me with arms outstretched, and I would be there with my arms open, just ready to scoop him up any time that he would stumble and fall and skin his knee. You know, as a young man, he didn't need me quite as much as for the minor physical pains. Now, don't get me wrong. When he was ill, he knew who to come to. He would come to his mom. Now, he might be the son of God, but don't doubt for a second that he wasn't his mama's boy. Oh, but, you know, he was such an independent young man, even at a young age. So any time that he would come to me was extra special for this mom. You know, I really am nothing special. But for some reason, God chose me to be the mother of his son. Well, just as he's chose every mother to be the mother of their children. There's numerous mothers in this world, but he chose me. I can't do anything special like my son. I mean, I can't heal the sick or raise the dead or prophesy. But I can love my child with my entire heart, which is what I do. A mother's heart is such an amazing thing. It hurts when our child's heart hurts. It rejoices when our child's heart is happy. You know, it has the capacity to love so deeply. Well, you can love your one child with all of your heart, and then when more children come along, somehow your love expands, and you love all of your children with all of your heart. It defies logic. The heart of a mother is utterly astounding. But God, I think you've reached the breaking point of this mother's heart. I have learned there is a limit to it. I used to adore the sight of my child's arms, outstretched arms, but no mother should have to see this. His arms are outstretched once again, but this time there are nails holding him to a cross. His feet are also nailed so that he can't come off that wretched thing. He can't come running to his mother. His arms are open wide, but he can't hold me. I cannot embrace him like when he was a baby. I cannot wipe his tears away. I can't even help him when he says, "I thirst." I can't help him. He's a grown man, but when I look up there, I see my baby. Not only do I see my baby, but I see my Messiah. He was sent for the world, but how is this going to help the world? Simeon had warned me that a sword shall pierce through your own soul as well. But how can a mother prepare her heart for this sight? How could I have ever imagined the horrors that awaited that sweet little blessed babe that I gave birth to in a manger? Can someone keep living when their heart has been shattered? When their heart's been hung on a cross? God, you ask too much. You have too much trust in me. You chose me to be his mother, which as a task I would gladly accept it, even though there was rumors about me in town. And I can handle raising him. I can handle loving him. I can't handle losing him. Especially now, not this horrible, disgusting, degrading way. They have nailed him between two thieves like he's a common criminal. Don't they know that he is the King of Kings? He is the Lord of Lords. He is my baby. This is too much. I can't. I just can't. And since I can't help him, and I can't stop this, I'm going to do the only thing I can do. Father God, I am your child, and as much as I love him, I know you love me even more as a daughter. As much as I hurt for him, I know that you hurt for me even more. You have a plan, I know you do, but so I'm coming to you with my arms outstretched to you. My Father, I am trusting that you're going to take care of me, of him. A mother's heart is an incredibly precious and loving thing, but the heart of the Father is even greater. My trust is in you. So please, God, help me. And that's the message I wanted to remind you of today. We're going to go through a lot in our lifetime. There will be overwhelmingly happy moments, and there'll be gut-wrenching sad moments. And I might have told you what Mother Mary may have experienced and may have thought during one of the hardest moments of her life as she watched her son and Savior die on that cross. But I can't really imagine the depth of that pain that she went through. But I can tell you this, God knew. From the moment that he chose Mary to be the mother of his son, he knew she was going to have to face this moment. And he knew that she would be strong enough to make it through because he made her heart strong enough. As much as a mother loves her children, God loves us even more. And that blows my mind because, you see, I look at the face of my daughter and I think there is no way on earth anyone loves anyone else more than I love this little girl. And yet he does. And we can't forget that. He has a plan for us, even when we can't see it. And it isn't making sense to us. Unfortunately, sometimes that plan does involve pain. God knows that too. His plan for his very own son involved more pain than we'll ever experience. And yet it had to be done. God made that ultimate sacrifice so we would have a way to be with him in heaven. If Jesus hadn't died on that cross for our sins, we wouldn't have that ability. So yes, God knows that sometimes your heart hurts, but just keep trusting him. Because he made that heart especially for you. When he formed you in your mother's womb, he knew the many twists that life was going to take. And God sees around those corners that we can't. When my mother and father went through their own infertility issues, and they gave up on conceiving children on their own, that's when God blessed them with two cotton-top little boys and one dark-haired little girl that barely stopped singing and talking enough to eat and sleep. God knew that little girl would one day grow into a woman that needed her mother's support as she went through her own fertility issues. And God knew that woman would need her mother's support as she raised another little dark-haired little girl who liked to sing and talk so much that she barely has time to eat or sleep. God has such a beautiful overall plan for us when we allow him to take control, when we give up the reins and we allow him to take him on our own faith journeys. Thank you, and let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. You have done so much for my family, and this was just a fraction of the things that you, the journey you took us on during this, and I know that I hurt, and I know that I questioned all throughout it, but you showed me that you were there each step of the way and every moment of it, God. So I thank you for this opportunity just to share about this journey. And Lord, I ask that you be with every single person in here, Lord. I know they all have their own journeys. They all have their own hurts. They have their own fears and concerns. And you know every single one of them. And you were not caught by surprise by any of it, God. And so I just ask that you be with each and every one of my friends as they leave here today. And just as they trust in you as they take their own faith journeys. In your name we pray. Amen.